From DogNation.com, this is Dog Nation Daily, the daily podcast for Georgia Bulldogs fans, presented by Marco's Pizza. Here's your host, Brandon Adams.
So I love every aspect of my job, and one of my favorite things about it is the way that certain days don't go exactly the way that you think they're going to go. I mean, listen, I think the one thing we all kind of get bored with from sometimes is sort of the mundane routine of everything happening exactly the way that you predicted it would. Even if it's sometimes not great news, it's sometimes sort of fun to be met with a surprise, and I got to tell you, yesterday was a surprising day for me. For those of you that follow the 2019 class closely for UGA, maybe you were tuned in yesterday afternoon for our special Before the Hedges recruiting look at DJ Daniels' decision, the junior college defensive back. Just as we were going on the air, we find out that Georgia picks up Tymon Mitchell, and then we were waiting. I was assuming that that Daniel would join Mitchell and Dogs are going to get two commits yesterday. As it turns out, that was not the case. For the people who were in the room with me here, including my buddy Michael, one of our producers, you could see, and I wasn't on camera when this happened, my jaw like just dropped open. I mean, listen, you know, obviously nothing is guaranteed in recruiting. There's a lot of unpredictable things that happen, but to be that surprised, at least for me yesterday, I was incredibly surprised by the moment that went down with DJ Daniel. We're obviously going to talk a lot about that kind of off the top of the program here today. We'll have Jeff Sintel on that for some sort of expert analysis in just a few minutes. But kind of off the top of the show here, let me push the bad news aside for a moment and look at the good news here first. Tymon Mitchell, a three-star defensive tackle from up in Tennessee, becomes the third player from the Volunteer State to commit to Georgia here for the 2019 class. He made this official on Twitter. If you're watching, I'll show you his screen grab here. His photo kind of celebrating the moment here for the University of Georgia. You'll see Tymon Mitchell on Twitter kind of doing some of that kind of stuff. I think there's a lot to like about Mitchell here. He is a really big guy, first of all. I think that makes him a really good prospect. We know that Georgia has had needs along its defensive line. That's something that Kirby Smart's been very clear about. You see there, if you're watching us on video right now, Mitchell with his message for Georgia fans. I like the pictures you see there on the side if you're watching. I'll come back to those in a moment, and if you're listening to us on the radio or the podcast, I'll explain why those pictures are significant. But this sort of helps fill one of those needs for Georgia trying to establish that defensive line depth. When you look at who Mitchell is as a player, I also think a recent profile that Jeff Sintel wrote about him at DogNation.com is really important here, because in talking with Mitchell and relaying that information by Jeff, you get a sense of what Mitchell provides for Georgia that it just doesn't have a whole lot of right now. Let me show you this quote from Jeff Sintel at DogNation.com talking about this. In his conversation with Tymon Mitchell, Jeff writes that he aims to be a nose tackle on Saturdays, but it feels like, but he feels like he can move up and down the line in a 3-4 front. I think he means they're playing the 3 technique, or maybe even, I guess, the 5 technique if he had to, but he does want to play in a 3-4 base defense. But for me, when I evaluate what I think I know about Mitchell here as a player, I think his highest and best use for Georgia is clearly in that sort of nose guard role. I think that's a hard position to fill. I do think of that. I use the phrase premium position from time to time here. I do think that's a premium position for UGA and really for all of college football. And you, of course, if you're watching, you see him on your screen there. But I think that that's absolutely one of those premium positions. The interior of the defense, that nose guard, is a crucial spot there for UGA. When we showed you the screen grab a moment ago of his his commitment to Georgia, those pictures that he had taken there in Athens, you saw that chain around his neck, and obviously that chain around his neck, when you see that, is sort of a reminder of the guy that has been filling that spot for Georgia, was so crucial for Georgia back in 2017, John Atkins. Another guy that maybe a little bit like Mitchell, not the most heralded guy. I think you could say from time to time, John Atkins, or Big John, as they like to call him, maybe he did get overlooked from time to time in a Georgia uniform. And as a three-star prospect, maybe Tymon Mitchell will be kind of the same way, overlooked in this 2019 class for Georgia that's going to include a plethora of 5 stars and a whole lot of 4 stars as well. But that job of manning the middle and occupying those interior offensive linemen, centers, and guards, that's a pretty crucial job. And I think that when Mel Tucker, the Georgia defensive coordinator, kind of talked about his outlook for the 2018 defense the other day, I think he made that really clear, that the spot that John Atkins once filled for Georgia, that Tymon Mitchell may fill in future years for UGA, that's a big, big spot here for the Bulldogs. And when you hear Mel Tucker describe how important John Atkins was, I think it's a way of foreshadowing how important Tymon Mitchell one day might be. Here is Mel Tucker on the spot nose guard in the middle of the defense. Take a listen to this.
We have to develop more guys that can play winning football for us inside. John Atkins was a heck of a player. He was maybe somewhat unsung, but when you go back and you watch the self-scout and you watch all the plays from the season, you see that he did a lot for us on defense. He was an anchor. You always want to be strong down the middle. So the standard has been set inside.
Yeah, the standard has been set, and maybe in future Georgia defenses, Tymon Mitchell's one of those guys that lives up to that standard of John Atkins. You saw him wearing the same chain that Atkins once wore at UGA, and maybe he'll bring the same level of play, because that nose guard is certainly a very important role to fill in the 3-4 defense here moving forward. So that was the good news for Georgia with its 2019 class yesterday. The bad news, and I think this is surprising news, DJ Daniel, the 4-star cornerback from Georgia Military College, a guy that has been featured a lot here in Dog Nation over the last couple of weeks. Jeff had a great interview with him. We've talked a lot about him on Before the Hedges. He was set to make his announcement yesterday afternoon at Georgia Military College, his current college home there in Milledgeville, Georgia. And when he pulled his hat out and put it on, it wasn't a red and black Georgia hat. It was a garnet and black South Carolina hat. And as I said off the top of our program, I was pretty shocked to see that that move there by DJ Daniel. That's not what I thought was going to happen at all. If I had to guess, I think the coaches were probably somewhat shocked about this as well. Maybe even coaches on both sides when it comes to the DJ Daniel decision. But Jeff Sintel was on hand with Daniel after he made the announcement that he made, and he and other reporters found out what it was with the Gamecocks that made him choose South Carolina over Georgia. Here's how DJ Daniel explained his situation yesterday afternoon.
Just being on the background when I didn't have no offers at first, and how they just stayed with it, stuck with me. How they just been straightforward to me, Coach T Rob, how they kept it real with me, Coach Muschamp.
When did you decide that it would be South Carolina?
Just a few minutes ago.
So, listen, you heard the laughter in the room there when he says he just picked South Carolina a few minutes ago. I take him at his word when he said that. The circumstantial evidence kind of surrounding this makes it seem like that really is true. This was kind of a last-minute choice for South Carolina for DJ Daniel. Now, let me tell you what I believe, and Jeff Sintel in a couple of minutes will be able to tell you what he knows for a fact. But what I believe here is that Georgia was recruiting DJ Daniel hard, and I do believe that Daniel was a take for Georgia yesterday. And with the choice of South Carolina here, my guess is that I think I'll be proven right here, because I do believe that Georgia's going to continue to recruit DJ Daniel. I'm going to let Jeff separate fact from fiction on that in just a moment, but if I had to assume what happened here, I'm not going to assume that it turns out that Georgia told Daniel to wait, or it turns out Georgia decided it did not want DJ Daniel. My best guess, my best read on the situation is this was not a situation in which Georgia moved off of DJ Daniel. Daniel just made his own choice here, a somewhat surprising choice in that regard. Now, as far as, you know, what kind of goes into DJ Daniel's decision, he does talk a bit there about how South Carolina had sort of stayed with him, were kind of in on him early back when he didn't have very many other offers. We know that kind of stuff matters. We talk about that storyline a lot when it comes to this overall recruiting picture. But there's also this, you know, this image you have in your mind here of some of the other things that DJ Daniel was hearing, not necessarily from South Carolina coaches in this case, but, you know, friends and family, advisors to him. You have to wonder if they were saying, do you really want to go to Georgia and be a part of the depth there at UGA, to sort of be clogged in the group that includes a lot of other 4-star guys from the class of 2017 and the class of 2018? Are you sure you want to go there and get stuck in a log jam? And if you don't believe that Daniel had to listen to a lot of that kind of stuff leading up to his decision, I'll take you back to Before the Hedges on Wednesday, the show that Jeff and I do on Wednesday afternoons, where we heard from Ryan Trouble Davis. Now, you go watch Davis's game film. I mean, he is a phenomenal linebacker. I mean, you just see him in high school, it seems like he could play for anybody no matter where he goes. He's just that big and runs that well. But even Davis said he battled a lot of, you know, sort of negative impressions of Georgia that were kind of put into his head, in this case by other coaches, so much so that he delayed his commitment, thinking about the people who are saying you don't want to go to UGA because they've just got too many good players already. Listen to Ryan Davis here, a recent UGA commit, talk about his process and see if you think there could be kind of some of the same kind of stuff that went on yesterday with DJ Daniel. Take a listen to Ryan Davis.
That's the only thing that was holding me back from commit a while back ago.
What sort of negative things were you hearing about Georgia?
Too many linebackers in the room and this other stuff, that little stuff that I heard. Too many 4-star, 5-star guys. And I don't know how he knew that I had heard this type of stuff, but he knew. And then he just told me, like, He just stated the facts. It's eight linebackers at each position. And it's four leaving next year. He was like, what's different for me and like all the other linebackers that they recruit is like I have the ability to play all four positions. So that's what they were saying. So they're like, I got the best chance coming in to get in there and play.
The he that Ryan Davis is referencing there is Kirby Smart. That Kirby Smart knew that Davis had been battling some negative recruiting and explained what Kirby views the situation to be so much, and Ryan Davis seemingly agrees with Kirby Smart's assessment there. In this particular case with DJ Daniel, I don't know what Daniel was hearing from people close to him, but obviously you can look at a situation at Georgia and see a much deeper roster than you see at South Carolina. Was that attractive to Daniel? I guess we may never know that for sure, but this will be certainly a storyline to watch in the weeks and months to come here. The overall bottom line for me is, even though Daniel ultimately doesn't make the choice that as a Georgia fan I would have wished he would have made, this is still for me what makes recruiting fun. This is kind of a soap opera from time to time. And there are plot twists. There are ups and downs, and there are unexpected events that occur, which just makes me want to tune in and watch more closely. And my guess is, as we all tune in, we'll see a lot more Georgia wins in the months ahead. My name is Brandon Adams, and this is Dog Nation Daily, the daily podcast for Georgia Bulldogs fans. We are presented by Marco's Pizza. We're glad you're with us live on video on the Dog Nation Facebook feed, YouTube page, Twitter feed every day at 10 a.m. Also on the radio with our friends in Athens on 960 The Ref every day at noon. And, of course, in podcast form, Apple Podcasts, the Google Podcast player as part of the Android devices, SoundCloud, the worldfamousdognation.com. We're just really, really glad you have found our Dog Nation Daily here today. And here on this Friday, I know you're looking ahead to the weekend. When you're thinking about Saturday, remember that Saturday's the perfect day for a pizza party. And with Marco's, you can get a great one going with two medium, two topping pizzas for just $6.99 each. It's authentic Italian quality pizza. Every store, every day, the Italian way. You can go to Marcos.com to find the Marcos closest to you. I know we got a big thing going on this weekend. A lot of kids going to be hanging around, and a lot of Marcos pizza going to be out satisfying those young kids. And if you're doing the same kind of thing, it'll satisfy everybody in your family. My wife loves it. I love it. We love Marcos pizza. Go to Marcos.com. You can get more on that. As I mentioned a few times off the top of our program, we will get Jeff Sintel here in just a minute. We'll talk to him about Tymon Mitchell. We'll talk to him about DJ Daniel. We'll discuss where Georgia goes next when it comes to its defensive backs here. We'll do a lot on all of this with Jeff Sintel here in just a moment. Before we get to that, though, let me turn our attention back to what's going to happen on the field for UGA here this weekend. It's that crucial practice Saturday where it's another one of those sort of dress rehearsal scrimmages. Georgia had one last week. A lot of the talk this week has sort of been in reference to what happened there in that moment. This particular one coming up on Saturday going to be really big. And if you listen to Kirby Smart talk, in particular, pretty big for the offense here, trying to establish that pecking order of offensive linemen and then decide, is Georgia going to be able to run the ball as dominantly and as effectively as it did a season ago? Kirby was very explicit in explaining this a little earlier in the week in his way of sort of setting the stage for what's going to happen behind closed doors tomorrow for Georgia. Here's a little bit of Kirby Smart.
Well, we've got a set of plays, our core belief that we always have, which is balance and being powerful, being able to run the ball at our will, not somebody else breaking our will. So that's always going to be the identity we have. As far as having it formed by any shape or form, I don't think we'll have that. We won't have that until the two deep is set on the offensive line and how the top 10 shake out of the alignment that we're going to be able to work with this season. And I don't think that'll play out until probably even after scrimmage two. You know, scrimmage two is kind of a defining moment, but it's not over because at scrimmage two, we still have eight or nine practices left before the first game.
So it's not over, Kirby Smart says, in terms of position battles and establishing an offensive identity, but it will be a big tentpole to sort of pass over as you get ready towards that September 1st opener against Austin Peay, and we're certainly getting ready and being very excited looking ahead of that here on Dog Nation Daily. With that in mind, let's also transition here and do our Kroger click list checklist. You know, we do this every Friday on the program, looking ahead to all the big things happening around Dog Nation. Of course, that September 1st opener, a part of that as well. Let me show you the Kroger click list checklist here, and if you're listening to us today, I'll also remind you of a couple of the big things coming up here as well. By now, you know that Jeff Sintel and I are back every Wednesday afternoon at 3 p.m. We're doing a recruiting talk with you on Before the Hedges. It's presented by Kroger, and we love doing that each and every Wednesday. And we do special events like the one we did yesterday afternoon as well. But Before the Hedges has been a lot of fun. We appreciate you being a part of that. Also, something else we want you to be a part of, it comes up next Thursday. It's August 23rd. It's our Dog Nation season kickoff. We are going to be there live at the brand-new Kroger Marketplace in Cumming on Bethelview Road from 6 to 8 p.m. Jeff Sintel, me, a lot of Dog Nation giveaways, a lot of fun and surprises. We really want you to make plans for being with us there at the Dog Nation season kickoff at the brand new Kroger Marketplace and the Crowbar there on Bethelview Road in Cumming. We'll look forward to seeing you there on Thursday. And, of course, as I said, the season opener against Austin Peay just around the corner for the Georgia Bulldogs there on September 1st. The Kroger Click List Checklist. That's not the easiest thing in the world for me to say. It is, of course, brought to you by Kroger. And Kroger invites you to come to your local Kroger chef for a guided kids cooking experience. It's this Saturday. The giveaway includes an apron, a patch, chef's hat, recipe card, box, and pizza cutter. It's all just $7. And this month, Kroger's going to be featuring the pinwheel sandwiches. It's tomorrow. You can go to KrogerChefJr.com to find out more information about that, including the Kroger store closest to you that's participating in that. And, of course, it's really fun to do the Kroger Click List Checklist every Friday here on Dog Nation Daily. It's also fun to talk to Jeff Sintel. A lot of recruiting information to get into with Mr. Sintel. We'll find out what happened behind the scenes yesterday there in Milledgeville and a whole lot more. Let's welcome in Jeff Sintel right here to Dog Nation Daily, presented by Marco's Pizza. And good to have you with us as well.
From Athens and across the SEC or wherever the recruiting trail may lead, here's a DogNation.com insider.
So Jeff Sintel had quite a day yesterday. We'll kind of get into some of this as well. In addition to covering a recruiting announcement there in Milledgeville, Georgia, that a lot of Dog fans were sort of disappointed in the outcome in, on the way home yesterday, and I hope I'm okay sort of telling this story, Jeff, who has a very beautiful, fancy automobile, had a flat tire. He and our buddy Connor Riley, who helps us out every single day as one of our producers, they're driving back, and all of a sudden they got turned into auto mechanics there on the fly. Not the banner day for Dog Nation yesterday, Jeff, is that safe to say?
Oh, no, Brandon. That's your glass half empty coming in there, man. We got home safe. It was an inconvenience, not a disaster, as some others might sensationalize it. I think the main thing for us is, yeah, we were going through Milledgeville proper. The commitment that was supposed to happen for the last several weeks finally did. The commitment that everybody was thinking that was going to happen this week did not. We're exiting Milledgeville proper, and we roll up on a very impressive nail. Looked like it belonged around Mercedes-Benz Stadium about a year and a half ago. So we catch it, and then all of a sudden the tire indicators come up, you know, tire flat. We pull off. Next to, I would say, probably a low three-star barbecue restaurant, mind you. And the tire's kind of like gushing air. And, you know, this is a good thing for me to just say hat tip, shout out to anybody that's ever experienced road hazards or road service or road trouble anywhere, maybe south of Macon, anywhere in the real part of Georgia is what I like to call it. I mean, I've had friends and family members tell me that they can catch a flat somewhere, you know, Greene County, Putnam County, those areas, and people will come by and offer them water. Dairy farmers will show up out of the woodwork, and the only thing they ask for in restitution is just to drink, to ask their family to drink a lot of milk. Man, we had guys wanting to pop us up, you know, with a compressor and work on our tire, come look on our tire. We eventually went through a couple of options. They patched it up like a NASCAR pit crew, and we were on our way, and then we hit Atlanta traffic, and then we hit more debris in the road than you could have possibly imagined. But it was an excellent adventure by Jeff and Connor, to say the least.
Your description of your flat tire was that it was gushing air. That's also the description that plenty of people use about me every single day on this show.
That's probably good. And you know what? I think we've got to get this off the ground, Brandon. I know, my man, you're fine with your face being on TV and airwaves and all that stuff. We need a studio cam on Brandon every time there's a commitment announcement taking place, and we're going to hit the red button and record that. So when we will have, as part of our shows, maybe the Before the Hedges, not even a fun game like Brandon pronounces five random names on the recruiting trail he does not know yet. This new game will be watch Brandon's reaction and caption this, because, my friend, I bet that look on your face yesterday was a little bit of a jaw drop on the Cox Media Group studios.
I was completely shocked. I described that a bit before you joined us here yesterday. And you'll also be happy that off the top of our program today, I actually started with the good news of Tymon Mitchell. And so since you're bringing up the surprising news of DJ Daniel, let me actually sort of begin our conversation there just a little bit, because I did say I was completely surprised. Now, just tell me what it was like to be there kind of in person on the scene there, because I feel like once the cameras go off and once the reporter notebooks get put up, maybe there's a little better sense of exactly how all of this played out. It sounds like there's plenty of circumstantial evidence to take Daniel at his word that he truly did make this choice in the final few minutes before he goes kind of live here with the announcement that we broadcast to you there on Dog Nation. I think there's reason to believe that there were a lot of surprises, not just with me, but maybe other important people here as well on all of this. Just kind of give me your sort of behind-the-scenes take on how it was that DJ Daniel ended up yesterday as a part of South Carolina's 2019 class instead of Georgia's.
Yeah, that's very interesting. I think one of the things, and little insidery things, is like when you show up at an event and you look to see which other media outlets are there, and you're like, okay, what do they think they know? What are they not saying that they didn't need to show up? It was kind of an interesting thing. You saw DJ Daniel. We must have pulled up, and we saw him kind of walking from the football complex with a group of his friends and teammates to the Bulldog Room, of all things, at Georgia Military College. And a lot of family was there. The family did not know. The head coach told us that he did not know. But there was a lot of Atlanta media there. There were a couple of Gamecock outlets there as well. And, make no mistake, I saw some of our stuff on our forums where people act like they have the best information and the best sources. I'm simply going to say that DJ Daniel was definitely a take for the University of Georgia coaching staff. He was a wanted man in Athens. The skill set, what he brings to the table is that, he can kind of be a DeAndre Baker replacement plan, kind of like a roadside assistant tire, maybe. but he could be a Baker replacement plan for the 2019 season, but it just wasn't meant to be. And a lot of people, it's funny, the theater that happens on social media afterwards. I mean, I got some responses like, did the check not clear? And that was definitely a dubious thing that fans like to be fanatical on social media. But, the main thing here is, I don't know, Brandon, but, I knew guys growing up, and you heard people growing up, if they watched 90210, they thought that Brenda was prettier than Valerie or Kelly or whatever you have it, or if you're a little bit older than that, it was Ginger or Marianne. And I just think, beauty is in the eye of the beholder, and DJ Daniel saw a greater track record of success for the junior college prospect, especially coming out of Georgia Military at South Carolina than Georgia. And that's kind of a valid point. South Carolina has a lot of history there with GNC. But he said, I thought it was pretty telling. There was one hat in the bag. There was also the thing where maybe 2 months ago he would have chosen South Carolina. Maybe a month ago he would have chosen Georgia. He said this was the hardest thing he's ever had to do, which was say no to Georgia. He said if he would have gotten qualified coming out of high school, he would have chose Georgia. But right now, he thinks he's a different kid, and he wanted something different for his college career rather than what would be happening to him for in Athens. And let me just kind of douse a lot of theories out there that make people feel better about recruiting or a recruiting miss by the program they follow. Georgia's defensive backs are not the type of established, consistent performance yet, even with what I'm hearing from practice, where DJ Daniel would look at those things and say, oh, there's a better chance for me to play and be the man right away at South Carolina. Not the case here at all. This is just DJ Daniel. Maybe you mix in the fact that South Carolina was the first on the scene to kind of reignite his recruiting at the junior college level. They came by, they eyeballed him in person. And I think all those little things start to add up. Comes from a family of Georgia fans, but all these little things start to add up, and this was just personal preference, Brandon, here, where you know a fellow that likes veggie pizza, and that's a little bit different than people that like Italian sausage and green peppers and, pepperoni and everything, what have you. DJ Daniel's choice was South Carolina.
So, obviously, let's move now on to what happens next. And we knew that Tyreek Stevens, the four-star defense back from down in South Florida, was going to be in Georgia's plans all along here. Now, we don't know what his decision is going to be yet, but we know that Georgia's chasing him pretty hard. That was going to be true whether DJ Daniel chose Georgia or not. But does this open the door back up for, like, a Kyrie Lam again? Or is there another defensive back that kind of comes to the forefront now that Daniel's chose in South Carolina? Or is Georgia just going to stay hard on DJ Daniel here and hope that what was kind of a last-minute decision has a tendency not to stick?
Well, I think Georgia will continue to recruit DJ Daniel. If there's one thing that the 2018 recruiting calendar showed us, is that recruits that are committed and seem stable and firm on August the 16th do not end up being that way, per se, on December the 16th. I think Georgia will still keep to recruit him. I think the door, Brandon, is still super wide open for a Kyrie or Elam. It's always been that way. That guy's a very good talent. I think Lewis Cine is there now. He's not going anywhere. And then I think Tyreek, the dream chaser, Stevenson, has always been the three defensive backs, along with DJ Daniel, on that got-to-get list for Georgia in 2019. And I don't think any of that changes. I don't think Georgia goes down further down their board and they look and see that, you know, Daniel's spot, maybe they go down now to maybe a Cortez Andrews or something like that. I don't think that might be the case, especially they might just use that scholarship slot in a, you know, supplies are limited class of 2019, and they might just go look for another depth hand at another position. Might be another defensive lineman, might be another linebacker, might be another tight end, wide receiver hybrid. I'm sure there are a lot of names out there, five-star names. N'Kobe Dean and Clay Webb are definitely on that list. If you saw the latest composite re-rank of the rankings, you see where Tyreek Stevenson moved up from number 76 overall up to number 41. So little by little, he's kind of creeping into that five-star area as well. So, you know, it just creates more intrigue for Georgia. And let's face it, Brandon, to me, when you look at Georgia's board, there's literally like only six or seven names left at the most for the remaining four to five spots in the class, public spots, private spots, what have you. And I think the DJ Daniel decision now creates a little more intrigue for Georgia finishing out the rest of this class over the next 5 to 6 months.
Let's talk about Tyman Mitchell here for a moment, three-star defensive lineman from Tennessee that chose Georgia yesterday. I think there's a lot to like about Mitchell as a player. And, Jeff, one of the things I discussed before you joined us is, you know, to go back to what you wrote about Mitchell at Dog Nation a few weeks ago, as a nose guard, I think that Mitchell has tremendous value. Mel Tucker explained back in the a couple of weeks ago that John Atkins at Georgia is probably an underrated player, that when you can occupy those interior offensive linemen, the center especially, when you can play in the middle of a 3-4 defense, you just make things easier for the more famous, highly touted playmakers there. Mitchell's already about 315 pounds. My guess is at Georgia he might even play heavier than that. He becomes the kind of guy that has the chance to do that there for UGA. I don't know that you need a five-star in that role necessarily. Now, obviously, I like five-stars at every position, but I don't know that you necessarily have to be one of the nation's top 100 players to be big and beefy and occupy interior offensive linemen, which seemingly is going to be the job that Tyman Mitchell's asked to do, correct?
Brandon, I know this game pretty well, and I think it's nigh impossible. And let me use a phrase there, nigh impossible, that only a 25 ACT defensive lineman like Tyman Mitchell would get behind and understand. But, like, to me, it is nigh impossible for a block sponge, which is what the nose guard is, which is what John Atkins was, which is what Tyman Mitchell will be for Georgia. It's very hard for a guy like that to get a five-star rating because you don't do anything other than occupy blocks and hold your ground and allow your inside backers and your outside linebackers to come downhill to the football. There's not a lot of drills in an exposure camp that's gonna show the world how good you are at that. That's not a sexy skill by any means. That's not I'm going to jump this guy up to five-star status. It is very hard to do. All I can simply say is that Tyman Mitchell is one of the smartest defensive line prospects in any class. With a 25 on the ACT, I think Georgia is more enamored with his 25 on the ACT and his 3.6 grade point average at a pretty sporty school in Nashville private school, small private school, and they know he can handle things in the classroom, which means he can likely handle things in the film room. And I think Simon Mitchell is going to be a very good one. And he is a person, you know, look past that three-star rating a little bit and just understand that this was a guy who had the choice of going to Virginia, Vanderbilt, Stanford, all those schools on the academic scene. Kirby Smart gushed about him and his 25 ACT when he was meeting and when Mitchell came on board. And a little bit more backstory here on Mitchell is Georgia has been seriously pursuing him since right after the SEC championship game of last year, almost daily contact. So a lot of times when people were wondering about, you know, what's up with Josh Harris, what's up with C.J. Clark, what's up with Quashawn Fuller, what's up with, you know, Derek Rambo Hunter. Well, this guy had been consistently pursued for Georgia for a long time. And I do love his backstory about how his father went to Vanderbilt.
Yeah.
And his great uncle was the first African-American football player at the University of Tennessee. There are a lot of check boxes for me about a unique young man. And really, his commitment had kind of been, if you follow the sources that I know, his commitment had kind of been on the docket for several weeks now. I thought it might take place right before the reveal. I thought it might take place right at the reveal or after the reveal because Mitchell was there. And I kind of call him, and all you Johnny Cash fans out there would realize this. Right now, that is Trey Scott, Tennessee 3. Scott has pulled out Bill Norton, Zion Logue, yep. And now Simon Mitchell from Jeremy Pruitt's fishing pond, so to speak. And I think all Dog Nation will like those guys once they're on campus.
Jeff, there's some reports out there that freshman tight end Luke Ford was involved in a motorcycle accident this week. It's reported to be a minor accident. You know that Ford family well. Anything to add in on this? I guess the great news here is it doesn't sound like it's too serious, but obviously a little bit of a deep breath taken by Dog Nation when a guy that so many people came to know and love as part of the recruiting process for the 2018 class is involved in a accident like this.
Yeah, I'm gonna answer this question very simply. Luke Ford is a tough kid. He comes from a strong All-American family. They ask for prayers, although it's something relatively minor. I'm sure most of Dog Nation would rather probably want to offer the feedback of Luke Ford. What are you doing on a motorcycle, brother? You need to be on those slower scooters going around the University of Georgia in Athens.
And then I've kept you late here, so I don't want to spend too much time on this, but I am curious if you have a thought on this. There have been a couple of reports out there about a high school that we talk about a lot, Grayson High School, a little bit of unrest between some of the players and the coaching staff there, so much so that some of the players don't go to practice here this week. This is only relevant from the standpoint that there are a lot of Grayson guys that end up getting Georgia offers and end up being talked about in this space a good bit. Anything from you on what may or may not have gone on at Grayson here this week?
Well, it's very interesting because it's a highly rated program, a nationally rated program, number one in the state of Georgia, top 10 program in the country, which will challenge for a national title this year. And basically, it's a matter that usually gets handled internally. Player walkout is being reported by the AJC and Score Atlanta. A player walkout happened here, and it's interesting because Grayson doesn't have a game this week. They'll have their first game next week with Tucker, another strong Metro Atlanta program, to say the least. And it's all about kind of practice conditions and tackling while they're in shells. And apparently meetings have happened, and you never really like to see this, but apparently practice conditions are going to be dialed down a little bit. And it's always interesting when you have a team with as much talent as Grayson has in terms of, you know, they feel that, you know, they feel that they have all the star power in the world, but you still got to take them through a practice, and maybe that's even a more rigorous practice than what everybody is seeing on Hard Knocks right now with the Cleveland Browns.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah, it's really interesting, Jeff. I know as we close out here, you're just as excited as I am what's going to happen this upcoming Thursday. You love those Dog fans up 400, especially in Forsyth County, and we get a chance to be incoming on August 23rd for our Dog Nation season kickoff. We're going to do some giveaways. I'm going to sort of drag you in one of those off-air Q&As, let some folks ask you for some inside information that maybe not quite fit to print or maybe not quite fit to be discussed on programs like the one we're doing right now. This is one of our most fun fun and favorite things each and every year here. The 2018 version going to be no different. I know you're just as excited as I am about August 23rd and the Dog Nation season kickoff there at the brand-new Kroger Marketplace on Bethelview Road in Cumming.
Yeah, guys, I look forward to seeing everybody out there, and we will try to answer as many questions as we can about Georgia football and Georgia recruiting. And maybe Brandon will get one or two of his questions answered as well, because he's desperately in need of a cornerback commitment right now to stave off the wounds of that dagger to the heart yesterday.
There is no doubt about that, Jeff. I am desperately in need of that, and we'll see if we can make that happen here around Dog Nation sometime really soon. Jeff, enjoy your weekend. I will look forward to speaking to you soon.
All right, guys. Have yourself a good weekend. Have some Marco's Pizza. Go to Marlowe's Tavern and also shop at your favorite Kroger.
Well said, Jeff. Thanks.
Let's take a look around the rest of the league. This is SEC Through.
Really good stuff from Jeff Sintel there. And I think one of the important things to listen to from what Jeff said is in the aftermath of the DJ Daniel decision, as I said to start the program, I believed that that DJ Daniel was a take for Georgia. Jeff was pretty clear there with his own words that Georgia was recruiting Daniel even up to the final moment before he made his decision there. And as proof of that, I guess Georgia going to continue that same recruitment here beyond. So DJ Daniel, at least according to Jeff Sintel, does look like he was a take for UJ yesterday, but ultimately Daniel makes a different choice there. We'll keep following the story as it moves forward. As we start our SEC through here, if you don't mind, I want to start with something that's not SEC related or even college football related, but it will be relevant to Georgia fans here. Last night, preseason football, the New England Patriots, the Philadelphia Eagles, and something of a Super Bowl rematch during the preseason, but kind of a scary moment here for Isaiah Wynn, the former Georgia Bulldog, a first-round pick for the New England Patriots. But early in the game, he's carted off the field with an ankle injury. One of the reporters there for New England does capture some video of this on Twitter. So if you're watching, I can show you some of the video of Isaiah Wynn. You see him there leaving the field on the cart. As of right now, though, we don't know a ton, I don't think, about Wynn's condition, but leaving the field on a card after an ankle injury is obviously something to be a bit concerned about here. Wynn's one of those guys we got a chance to really know towards the end of last season. He's such a great spokesman for the Georgia team. So a little bit of a scary, disappointing situation there. Hopefully Wynn's going to be okay, but you never like to see that motorized cart come out for something like that. So as we learn more, as more gets reported, we'll try to bring it to you on Dog Nation. And really for some of you who are huge NFL fans, as you keep up with this, drop a comment in the comment section. You can kind of let us know about that. On to a happier subject here. You may remember that earlier in the week we talked about the scheduled home-and-home series for Clemson and LSU. And at one point in time, Dan Radakovich said that his team, Clemson, he's the AD there at Clemson, they were working on those home-and-homes with both LSU and Georgia. So I think there were some people that were wondering, well, since the LSU scheduled, you know, series got scheduled, does that mean that the Georgia thing got pushed on the back burner? David Hale, a reporter from ESPN, apparently spoke to Dan Radakovich, and that's not the case. Here's what Hale says about Dan Radakovich. He says, I just chatted with Dan Radakovich. This is on Twitter. He says, the deal for the home-and-home series with LSU, which is now scheduled, does not stand in the way of nailing down a home-and-home with Georgia, too, and that discussion remains ongoing. We were actually talking about this before our show started, and I'm a big believer this is great news. Now, A, I'm a child of the 80s, and back during the 80s, Georgia-Clemson was a great rivalry back then, so I love the idea of renewing something that I sort of grew up really appreciating. But even beyond that, the sort of traditional nature of the Georgia-Clemson rivalry, I think there's something else you can be said about these two programs right now. Even if the sort of traditional nature of this rivalry is somewhat subsided, given the fact they haven't played a lot in the last couple of decades, they are still very much what I think of as a practical rivalry. In other words, geographically close, they are battling for a lot of the same recruits. Andrew Booth, a recent example of that. I guess, you know, Trayvon Walker is probably an example of that as well, that Georgia won. Battling for a lot of the same recruits. And if you're going to be battling them that much heading into December and February, you might as well play them on the field as well. And I think that's the nature of the Georgia-Clemson series right now, that they are just practically speaking battling and recruiting so much, they might as well play each other on the field. The other thing I'm going to point out here once again, and I'm going to be a bit of a hypocrite on this, because on the one hand, I love the neutral site game in Jacksonville against Florida every year. That's the spot I want that game to remain. However, when it comes to a lot of this non-conference scheduling, what Georgia started last year at Notre Dame and the return trip for the Irish in Athens in 2019, that I believe is the new benchmark for how non-conference games are going to be scheduled. It's going to be less in the future of the neutral site stuff, although LSU and Florida State did just schedule one of those, I must admit. But the overall picture here, I believe, is going to be less of the neutral site stuff and more of the home and home stuff. It's an advantage for recruiting because you can host recruits for the home game that you get. It's a cool look on television when you're playing in one of these famous backdrops, like Georgia and South Bend a year ago. And so when Georgia and Clemson do play, I believe it will be a home and home, and I believe that's the trend that Georgia should pursue. I think that's what the rest of college football are going to pursue as well. In fact, evidence of that, Auburn also getting in the mix here. Now, all these games are like years into the future here, so let's not get too excited too soon. But Auburn just announced a couple of home-and-home series it has scheduled. And I'll show you the official tweet from Auburn on Twitter here, letting you know that Auburn's going to go to Baylor. Baylor's going to return the favor there on the Plains. And also a series scheduled with UCLA. And correct me if I'm wrong, but doesn't Georgia have an upcoming UCLA series there as well? So back in the Rose Bowl again will be the Dogs in Pasadena. I will tell you, I think going to Baylor, brand new stadium right there on the banks of the Brazos River, I actually think even though Waco's kind of the middle of nowhere, I think that might be a bit of an underrated road trip. That actually might not be a bad thing for the Tigers there. So they get a couple home-and-home series scheduled. That should be pretty interesting to keep track of. And one final note here for our SEC through. We'll stay on Auburn here for a moment. Colby Wooden, a three-star defensive end from Archer High School, a big powerhouse program in Gwinnett County right now. Wooden commits to Auburn yesterday. I don't think that Georgia was ever really all that involved in Wooden here, but this is another example of what Auburn does a lot of, populating its roster with guys from the state of Georgia. Colby Wooden is another one of those. We wish him well as he gets ready to begin his college career there with the Auburn Tigers. And with that, we'll make that your SEC through. All right, here on Dog Nation Daily, presented by Marco's Pizza, over the last few weeks, we've been doing something kind of fun. We've been giving you a chance to sort of preview the upcoming season with our Own the East video series. It's presented by Georgia's Own Credit Union. And quick backstory here. When you do this, there's no way to do it sort of like one per week or one per day. It just takes way longer to do that. You have to sort of get together and knock all these out at one time. That's just sort of the only way to do that. So a long time ago now, Chip Towers and I sort of did this video together. And at the time, we talked about Zamir White. Now, we know a lot more about White now than we did then. But nonetheless, it's a really interesting look at a guy that I think is going to play a big, big role for Georgia this season. Owning the East, I believe it's going to happen. Georgia's Own Credit Union brings it to you. Zamir White's going to help make it happen. Let's learn more about him right now. Georgia's Own Credit Union presents Own the East. And a look at the names to know as Georgia tries to get back on top of the division once again here for 2018. Hello, everybody. I'm Brandon Adams along with Dog Nation's Chip Towers. And I feel pretty confident in saying that one of the most popular players in the Georgia roster already is incoming freshman running back Zamir White. Now, we haven't seen him play yet, but Dog fans are certainly anticipating it. He's coming back off an injury suffered near the end of his senior season in high school, but maybe reason for optimism here that he could help Georgia try to own the East here this season?
Yes, there is. And you know, with a guy who has a nickname Zeus, you're not going to let a little knee injury slow you down, are you? You know, Zamir White is going to figure in Georgia's plans in 2018. There's no question about it. The only question really is just when. When do you unleash him? And I tell you, based on what I saw in spring practice, by the end of spring drills, Zamir White was doing absolutely everything all the other backs were doing in terms of drill work, stepping over dummies, diving, taking handoffs, cutting up the field. It was pretty incredible to behold, but he still wasn't getting contact. So the question is, when will he get that? He'll get it, I imagine, to some degree, sometime in preseason camp. But the luxury that Georgia has, which it's had for several years now, is you don't have to rush him into the fold. But let's be clear, this is not a Nick Chubb type of injury. This was a fairly minor as ACL injuries go. He got it repaired quickly. He rehabbed it, right out of the box. And based on what I'm seeing, this is Chip talking because they're playing this very close to the vest, is that I think you'll see him very early in the year. And I think by the end of the year, we'll see him quite regularly.
So it's a fascinating conversation. If we assume for a moment that DeAndre Swift gets the most carries of the Georgia running backs this season, that obviously leaves plenty of room for Zamir White. But Brian Harry and Elijah Holyfield, they're still going to be hard to beat out, to say nothing of the other freshman, James Cook.
That's
this is
right.
What a deep stable of Georgia running backs here.
Yeah, it really is. And, it's got to make the rest of the SEC jealous. It really does, because any one of these guys could be starting for another SEC team. But that is probably the better question, BA, is who's going to get the second most carries on Georgia, and I think that's there's going to be intense competition for that lead.
Zamir White could be a name to know as Georgia tries to own the East once again.
Own the East is brought to you by Georgia's Own Credit Union and Georgia's Own Visa Signature Card, which gives 1.25 points for each dollar charged and can be redeemed for cash back, gift cards, travel, merchandise, and more. Check out georgiasown.org for more details.
So we now know that Zamir White's healthy. We now know that, you know, at least in terms of a practice standpoint, he's the, quote, full go. My guess is, come South Carolina, he's probably playing a lot. And, you know, I didn't see every high school game that Zamir White played. I never really watched him the way that the recruiting reporters like Jeff Sintel did a lot of these camps. All I can go on this case is what I hear. Now, I know in court of law that'd be called hearsay, but the hearsay here is that Zamir White is really, really good. I mean, that's just the word on the street about Zamir White, that he's really, really good. I think he's going to be a household name across the rest of the SEC by the end of the season, and I cannot wait to watch all of that play out. All right, let me wrap up here. Quick Gatorator countdown, and then I want to go and talk about Luke Ford just for a moment. 71 days from right now, Georgia beats Florida again. To me, it's as simple and cut and dried as that. The lousy, stinking Gators go down again in Jacksonville. I like that neutral site game. I like going to the beach and beating up on the Gators, and I think this October, Georgia fans get to do both 71 days from right now. With that said, let me give you a brief thought on Luke Ford here, who was involved reportedly, according to, I guess, Rivals.com has this first, a minor motorcycle accident. Sounds like he's going to be fine. Jeff Sintel gave us some intel on that a moment ago. But here's the thing about Ford. You know, he's from Illinois, and can you imagine how scary it must be for his parents, even if it's an accident where he's okay? You're all the way out in Illinois. You find out your son's been involved in a minor car accident. This is why parents want to know they can trust the coaches. And this is why the Georgia coaches do such a good job of sort of establishing relationships with the players' families, because they become de facto parent figures, and in this case, it's probably working out well for Luke Ford. We'll see you to Monday here on Dog Nation Daily.